Mary, the FDAPA podcast. Here are your hosts, Michael and Joe.
Hi everyone and welcome to the SVOPA podcast. This is episode 10 and it's Joe here as usual with Michael. Hi Michael.
Hi Joe. Hi everyone. I'm dying of a cold at the moment, so if I break out and cough and die, just don't worry about it. I'll still be back next month, I promise you.
Just do it quietly in the corner and we'll all be okay.
Thanks. I love you too. Well, don't forget you can get in touch with the show on podcast@svopa.co.uk. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We do want your feedback and your requests for information, and we just want you to get involved. It's your show, so let's have you guys doing more on it.
We do. So what have we got coming up this month, Michael?
Well, we've got some, a quick roundup of details for the upcoming reunion. We've also got some stuff from SVOPA Live, which we recorded a few minutes when we were in Gateshead, along with an interview with Patty. We've also got a great interview with Danielle. And for a sort of precursor to next month, which we're going to get as many as we can on, we've got the first of the two-minute challenges.
We have. So it's a jam-packed issue this month, isn't it, really? Loads coming up.
So without further ado, should we move on to the reunion?
Yep, definitely.
Why not come and join us at one, or two, or all of them?
Right, so as lots of you will know, the reunion is being held on May the 18th this year. The start time has been brought forward to 1:30, and I'm going to hand over to Michael to give you a rundown of the afternoon and evening events.
Right, these are still tentative, they may change, but this is the plan for the time being. So 1:30 start with tea and coffee, etc. We have 2:30 for the AGM. Obviously, we've got to get the business side of things done. And then you can enjoy the rest of the day. We'll be having a tour at some point, and we're hoping to try and get a bit of a history tour with a bit more information about what the school's doing now and what the school did, especially for the younger people who are coming and maybe the older ones as well, so they can hear more what's happening at the school today and what was happening when we were there. We're going to record SVOPA Live or SVOPA Live while we're there, and we'll have some free time. And then about 7:00, we'll be having our buffet and the entertainment, which will be led again by Chelsea and Sid.
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant last year, wasn't it, with Sid doing the entertainment. It was really relaxed evening and everybody had a really good time.
It was. People got up and did a bit of karaoke. We had a guitar there and we just had a great time. It was just really, really good.
Yeah, it was. So now you want the all-important prices for the day.
Yes, well, it's £5, obviously, for your membership, and we encourage as many people to join because we obviously don't like talking about money, but we do need money to keep the organisation going. But it's £5 if you're just coming for the day for your teas and coffees. If you're staying for the evening as well, it's £12.50. And if you're staying for bed and breakfast, a whole lot is just £45, obviously, all those prices plus your £5 subs. The booking form is available. Just drop an email to podcast@svopa.co.uk. It's on the Facebook page. And most people who got the CD should have received a copy in there as well.
Now, at the moment, we don't have any beds left, do we, for the night?
We don't, actually, at the moment. But that could change. People could drop out. And we are, to be honest, looking for local people who, we know your friends are coming, who might want to, put them up. If you've got a spare bed, a spare sofa, whatever. It will make it, so more people can come, and that's what we want.
Definitely. It's looking like it's going to be a really good event this year, so do come along if you can and join us for part of the day or all of it.
And we have got people coming who left in the 50s and 60s, all the way up to people who left in the noughties, 2004, 2005. So we've managed to get some of the younger people, which is what we really want, so... it's going to be great with such a wide range of people and age groups and experiences.
If you want any more information regarding the reunion, then contact Michael, podcast@svopa.co.uk. The rest of his contact details we'll give you at the end of the podcast, as usual. Also, if anybody is interested in standing as a committee member this year, then also get in touch because we'd love to hear from you. It's always good to get new people on the committee. We particularly would like some, you know, anybody who left more recently to kind of come forward because they always have new ideas and, you know, a good idea of what the school's like now and everything like that. So, yeah, so get in touch.
Even if you can't make the reunion this year, you can still put yourself forward. We can bring that up at the meeting because we know there's people who really can do a lot behind the scenes who may not be able to make all the events. So, you know, that's just as important as being there on the day.
Definitely, because at the moment we've got the Facebook group, the Facebook page, we've got what goes on with the committee organising the reunions and the different breaks in between times as well. So if anybody wants to get involved and, you know, give Michael and I a hand, we'd really appreciate it.
We would. Right, so what we're going to do now is move on to some of the material which recorded what Uppingate said between the 22nd and the 25th of February. Hi everyone, it's Michael and I've got Paul with me today, co-hosting.
Hello.
And we're in the Swallow Hotel in Gateshead for the SVLPA weekend. And all together there's 12 of us and Paul Roberts is coming tomorrow. So we're not all in the studio at the moment, which is actually a bedroom.
Hey.
All right.
We've currently got, including, we'll just go around the room, and we've got partners as well. So you've got me, Michael.
Karen, Michael's wife.
Georgina's husband, Andrew.
Paul, who's helping co-hosting something for Joe on this occasion.
Georgina, Andrew's partner.
I'm Patty, and I'm married to Brian. Me Nate and Shane and Arma.
Oh, God.
Debbie Cullen, treasurer.
Brian Collison. Patty's husband.
And we've also got Angela Mills, who's going to join us in a few moments, and her husband, Ian, and Catherine Lang, and Mary Nell with us as well, but they're not in the makeshift studio, which, like I said, is a bedroom this time. So, Paul's, we're just going to do a little section, but there's only one person to do it at the moment, so Paul's going to introduce that.
Okay, carrying on from the last live broadcast in... When were we at Clifton, November? God, it's February already. Handing over now to for 2 minutes. So, Patty, it's over to you.
Hello, everybody. Brian and I came here from Whitley Bay. I was at St Vincent's from 1963 to 1967. And then after I left school and college and everything, I worked in a solicitor's for 12 years. And then during that 12-year, Brian and I met and we went to Sunderland and he says, what would you like to do? Go to the pictures, I look at jewellery shops. I decided, look at jewellery shop. And we looked in the shop and was looking at rings and I says, oh, darling, this ring's lovely. He says, yes, £2,000, £900. I says, yes, darling, they're the only ones I can see are the big ones. So we've been married maybe 32 years, and we've got the son Peter, who's living down in Doncaster with his partner, and we've got two grandchildren, and we've got four step grandchildren, and we're going to a christening tomorrow for our latest granddaughter called Harmony, Marjorie, and I said to Peter, this child's going to be talented and play music and bring togetherness. So this is, we've had a lovely weekend and it's been great fun. So you know, I hope that's everything.
You know, so I'm impressed actually.
So am I.
Because knowing you so well, you've actually only gone for a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Hey. I mean, that must be a record.
I think it is.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance even for the buzzer to go on, so that's pretty good. Well, yeah, we've had a great weekend. Last night we went to the went down to the Gloucester, which I keep calling the Gateshead or every other name. We had some karaoke and Paul got up and did something, Paul?
Yes, I did.
And what did you sing, mate?
a track off the Keane album, one of the first Keane albums, Everybody's Changing, which I kept forgetting the words in the chorus, but nobody seemed to notice, so that was okay. And also one with one by Travis as well. So, yeah, both of them went down. Both songs seemed to go down really well, so that was good.
And just play this quickly. Yeah, that's poor. Just grabbed a tiny bit of audio last night off him. I know I'm a bit cruel, but that's life. I had the phone, so yeah, I just did Wonderful Tonight and Rhinestone Cowboy as well. Mm-hmm. So we had a good laugh, but we didn't get to record.
So you're not
with
any of yours on?
No, I didn't actually record mine. But, yeah. Well, what we're going to do is, which is a bit cruel really, is turn the tide on me, onto Georgie, and onto Patty, because all three of us have got our partners or husbands and wives with us. So we thought we'd let them have a chance just to say something amusing or something what's been quite embarrassing or something we've done as blind people, which is going to be humour. So who wants to go first? Go on, Andrew.
Oh, no. I like Georgie said.
I've done nothing embarrassing, right, apart from once. With my first husband, I went into bins into the maternity department, and we were looking for dresses. Anyway, we couldn't find it, the department, anywhere. So I went up to an assistant and I said, "Excuse me, but could you tell me where the maternity department is?" And she never answered. So I said, "Excuse me, could you tell me where the maternity department is?" And my husband at the time was stood behind me doing this with his arms. And I said, "No, what?" I said, "She's dead ignorant and I'm going to stay here till she answers me." So this woman came up and she said, "Madam, can I help you?" I said, "Yes, I think the service in this department store is disgusting." I said, "I've been stood here 2 minutes asking this woman where the maternity department is." She said, "Madam, that's a mannequin."
Great.
So that's the one and only. Oh, and then another time what I did was there was a chip shop and a cobbler's. And I walked into the cobbler's and asked for fish and chips twice.
I think a lot of blind people have done that. Have you got anything to say, Brian?
I'm trying to think of an incident.
Try and narrow it down to one or two.
I remember one, darling. Well, was when before we were married and we were going round parishes and I saw these fur courtesy. And I love fur, and I was stroking all these fur coats. What do I go and do? I goes and sets the alarm off.
Because they were valuable fur coats, they weren't cheap ones. All alarmed.
I did the same in Canada as well, didn't I? There was this gorgeous coat, and it was a muskrat. It was absolutely gorgeous. I said, "Yeah, I love that." And I was like stroking it, and it was gorgeous and soft. And I really liked it. And then another time we went.
Did you get it?
No. We went and visited the stately home, didn't we, Brian, in Canada? And they had these portraits up of Queen Victoria, dated 1837. And the guide asked us about her, and I gave her information, a history lesson about the life of Queen Victoria. She says, "If you were living here, I'd give you a job as a guide."
I'll tell you one thing that, if you don't mind, that happened with me and Andrew was we went to Leeds and that we were both looking in this shop window and suddenly I finished and I grabbed Andrew's arm and waltzed him up the road. And this woman shouts, "Here, what are you doing with my husband?" And I looked round and it wasn't Andrew. "Here, I'm awfully sorry." He said, "Don't you worry, love." He said, "That's the best offer I've had today." He sodded off and left me.
Angela's just walked in now.
Hiya.
So, we're actually recording at the moment, Angela. So we'll carry on as if that's all right with you.
I'm sorry. Yes,
no, it's right. Now it's good. We're going to keep you involved now. What we were actually doing with some of the guys before you came in.
Yeah.
It's a pity actually Ian's not here because you'll have to do it yourself if you can find him. But one of the things we would do was like a 2-minute talk about yourself, but maybe things at school if you want to, what you've done since.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. If you just give me 2 minutes, because we actually set a timer, so you can't go on for too long. The miracle actually is, Patty didn't use all 2 minutes up. I mean, can you believe that? Right. So.
Oh, I did hit Patty.
So, just about anything, school, anything in the meantime, and the timer starts now.
Hello, my name is Angela Milnes, and I was Angela Smith at school, for anyone who remembers me. I was at school between 1964 and 1974. And I went to Broughton Hall School, for anyone who remembers the days when some of us went there. for a couple of years, and then I went to the RNC, and then I started working for Barclays Bank, and well, I've been there for 32 years, and I'm going to be finishing as my office at the bank's closing down for the customer service section in September, so I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing then, but I've stayed as a member of SVOPA for most of the time since I left school, and this weekend we're at Gateshead, as you probably previously heard, and we went out last night. I had a really good night at the local pub and doing karaoke and dancing, and today I've met a cousin of mine who lives up here. We've been to see the Angel of the North, which I was really pleased about, and we've been to North Shields and had a lovely fish and chip lunch, massive portion as well. Really enjoyed it. Having a great weekend.
Well, thanks, Angela. And I'm surprised again you didn't take the full 2 minutes off. No. See, sometimes we've actually made people use it and go, "You've got to carry on."
Michael has had no trouble filling in the 2 minutes.
No. That's true. One of the things we're actually doing, are you going
to
go next, Karen?
I don't
want
to do it.
Was, which is why we're going to ask Ian, is about embarrassing things you've done.
Oh,
so
right.
Just about saying that, Georgie and Patty did there also. Karen, I think, was going to try and embarrass me, so I might leave the room. But I've got editorial rights, so I can change things. Anyway, so if there's anything embarrassing you've done, you can, go on then, Karen.
Well, when I first met Michael, I think he met my parents in passing uptown one day. So when first time I took him home to see them properly, I took him in, and we at the time we had a lovely German Shepherd dog, like black and tan, and they had a lovely cream and brown carpet in the dining room. And I took him in, so I was beside him, and "Mum, Dad, this is..." And he wasn't there. "Where is he?" And I looked down, he was lying on the floor at the side of me. He walked in, tripped straight over the dog, was on the floor, and was flat out on the carpet. "Oh, this is Michael, down there." Dragging off the floor and standing up again.
"Don't worry, he's not drunk, he's just dead."
Yeah. He's just got himself at the feet.
And the thing is, I bet we've all done that at some time.
Yeah. Yeah. Introduce him to fresh air.
Yes. Yeah, I did that a few weeks ago for Tommy as well.
Done it a few times.
Have you done anything quite embarrassing, Angela?
Probably have, but just can't think of it. Or I'm not willing to spill the beans.
Oh,
no,
oh,
yeah, no,
we're
all
friends together.
Of course, yeah. I was just trying to think.
And there's only one going to hear it, no one else.
I won't hold it again too much.
No. I'm trying to think. Stuff at the top of my head.
You're just too good.
I know, I'm sure I have.
Well, that's it for now, guys. We'll hopefully get a few other bits later, maybe tomorrow morning as well, and we're having some time out tomorrow. We're going out for a meal from dinner, and hopefully Chelsea is going to be joining us as well tonight or tomorrow for dinner. So, you know, a few of us, some we've got Mary and Catherine, we might try and pin down on Paul tomorrow as well. So that's it for now. Thanks everyone for all sharing this time. Thank you, Georgie, for opening up your bedroom.
Hey, you're welcome.
And that's it. So see you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Why not email us at podcast@sbupa.co.uk?
Right, well, that was the gang at the Swallow Hotel, all tucked up in Georgie's room and having a good laugh. And we had 15 people in total at the reunion, which was absolutely great for a weekend break up in the northeast. And that included a couple of people, Chelsea and Sid, who came for Sunday dinner with us. So we're going to move on now to Danielle, who was on our Christmas podcast talking about her memories of Christmas. And we managed to bring her back into the studio last week and find out about her life at school, her life after school. So over to you, Danielle. Hey, Danielle, welcome to the SVOPA podcast. It's good to have you on again.
Hiya, thank you.
And how are you doing at the moment?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, very good. Keeping busy.
Good, that's what we like to hear. Well, we're going to start off talking about school and that sort of thing, and then we'll move on to what you're doing now, which is absolutely fascinating. I think, you know, what you're doing is a great career choice, and I think it's really good for a visually impaired person to do as well. So, So when did you attend St Vincent's? And
I was there from September 1996 to June 2010. Yeah, quite a few years.
Right, so you went through the whole system, really, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Started in year one in the September, and then kind of finished in, well, it was sixth form at the time, so, yeah.
Right, so what we'll do is we'll ask you, what was sort of your highlights and things throughout the school while you were there?
Well, it's, as you can imagine, after all them years, it's quite hard to pinpoint it to just one or two things. But I think one of the, it's a very small sort of thing, but it'll always stay with me, was one of the first things that I remember about when I very, very first kind of started, like my first Monday morning, if you like, when I'd started properly, was walking from where you go into school, you know, in the front hall through the door into the long main corridor, and smelling, it was some kind of polish or some sort of, I don't know whether it was floor cleaner or what, but it was that kind of clean sort of smell, and it went all along that corridor and right through the double doors and round into the playroom where you go through into Caulfield. And I always remember walking along that corridor and just thinking, oh, I wonder, you know, how many times I'm going to walk up and down this corridor. And as it happened, it was probably in the thousands by the time I left.
did you board at St Vincent's, Danielle, or did you go as a day girl?
No, I was. I used to stay. I was resident because I live in Lincolnshire, so it's over 3.5 hours away. So when I kind of first went to look round, we had a day visit to school and had a look round, and then as part of the assessment, I had an overnight stay at school, and I would have been probably about 4.5 then when I first kind of did the assessment, and then I was just turned 5 when I started in the September. So, and I was the youngest resident at the time, which had its advantages actually, because I was kind of everyone's pet almost, which was quite sweet.
How did you find the transition from obviously being at home to staying away at school? I mean, I know you were quite young.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning it was, you know, it was obviously very, very hard because, you know, even your parents aren't just round the corner, are they? So, it, you know, I think I was lucky because when I was you know, young, it was quite kind of common for me to stay at like my nan and granddad's house for the weekend, and so I was used to, you know, I wasn't a very, very clingy, you know, when I was little anyway, which helped. But the staff at school were brilliant. Sue and Marie in particular were absolutely brilliant because they were, you know, kind of in charge in Caulfield at the time. And they were absolutely brilliant and kind of reassured, you know, me and my mum and dad and the rest of the family and everything. Which was really nice because after school, you know, if the weather was nice, there wasn't all the rules and regulations that there is now. And so we could, you know, if we decided at 4 o'clock that we wanted to go for a walk, you know, up to the Triangle Shop or to the Top Shops or whatever at the end of Yew Tree Lane, then that's what we did. And we didn't have all the forms to fill in and everything. So we were going, sort of thing. So, and we used to quite often go to, you know, round the park or to either Sue or Marie's house for a cup of tea, and you know, things like that made it nicer, and it wasn't so big and big area.
So, what did you did? Because I know you're very musical, because obviously you're doing performing arts at the moment. So, was that a big part of school life? Did they do any of that? Because it's obviously changed a lot since we were there. Was music a big part?
It was. I know when I was in the from primary up until year 9, it would have been, before we started doing our GCSEs, we had a music lesson every week, which I really enjoyed. And once I got into kind of year 7, first year of the seniors, I started becoming more interested in singing. But at that stage, it was more kind of contemporary and pop singing. I hadn't really kind of discovered musicals, if you like, then. And then when we came to deciding what we had to do for GCSEs, unfortunately, we could only kind of pick one of the different options. And because I was interested in childcare at the time, I couldn't do childcare and music, so I had to pick, and I went with childcare, unfortunately. But it still didn't stop me, you know, kind of doing music and doing performances, because we had a bit of a kind of school band going on at the time. There would have been a group of about probably 4 or 5 of us that would often do kind of, you know, playing school assemblies and concerts and various different bits and bobs. And through that, it was kind of me and two other girls who were sort of singers. And I gradually started kind of doing more and more solos and getting more confident through that. And then when I was in year, how old would I have been? I'd have been about 16, so probably in year 11. Bernadette Buckle, she runs a dance school with her sister, and she asked me if I'd like to sing at their show they do every February. They do a performance in the Brinley Theatre in Runcorn, where the whole dance school takes part, and it's like a pop theatre show, basically. It's really good. And she asked me if I'd like to do anything in that, do a solo or take part in any of the group kind of dances and bits. So that was then really when I started getting into musicals and musical theatre, and thought, actually, I prefer singing this to just singing, you know, normal pop songs. And I got a lot of positive feedback and that from the first show that I did. And it kind of just built from there, really. I seemed to be getting more opportunities and getting that more confidence. So.
Fantastic. That's really good.
Was there anything you didn't like at school?
There isn't anything that kind of jumps out at me. one of the biggest things was maybe food. But that's not just because school cooking wasn't very good. It was very nice, but I'm a very, very, very fussy eater. So, I'm particular. I don't say I'm fussy. I say I'm a particular eater. So, but other than that, I can't think of anything kind of major that stands out, to be honest.
That's brilliant. So all in all, it sounds like you had a pretty positive experience at St. Vincent's.
I did. I think I was lucky, and right from the very beginning, I was kind of determined that I was going to you know, make the most of it and really try and kind of make something of the opportunities that I, you know, that I've got. And we had, you know, we had lots of different experiences and opportunities that I know mainstream children wouldn't have had or might have had, but maybe not in such a positive, you know, positive way. I'm just trying to think of main things that stand out to me. Did either of you go to the Calvert Trust in the Lake District when you were there?
They did one sort of adventure weekend. I think it was in my last year. I didn't do it, but some of the guys did it, which could have been the same group. It could have been, you know, different. I'm not sure.
Oh, it might have been similar then. I know it was. It was as a kind of class group. It was really nice when I was in. I think it was in year 8. There was a group of probably 7 of us, maybe, who we went to the Calvert Trust in the Lake District with. Who was with us? Brian McManus, Angela Beach, and we had somebody else, but I can't remember who it was, and that's really bad. And it was brilliant. We had a really good time as a group. It was a really good kind of, almost like a bonding week as well as anything else, because we did, you know, all the kayaking and horse riding and rock climbing and all those kinds of things. And it was brilliant. It was really nice, and we didn't pay for it either, which was even nicer. I know a lot of children that go away in schools now, they all have to be paid for all these trips and everything, don't they? And
they do, yeah.
It was brilliant.
That's fantastic. So was there anything else like that that you did? Any other things that we might not have kind of experienced?
I can't think of any kind of residential ones like that, but we did have there was a project that ran for quite a few years when I was at school that was funded certainly for some of the time by Northwest Water. And that was basically for members of the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra to come in to different music sessions each week, you know, throughout the year or throughout the summer term. And they would work on kind of composing pieces with us and working on different songs to put into the kind of end of year show. And that was always really good, really good fun. We had each year there was usually a theme. I know one year when I was, I think it was my last year in the primary, we did, it was around the time of the first kind of Harry Potter film coming out. And we had a Harry Potter theme basically for the whole show. So the Phil actually played bits of the, you know, the soundtrack from the film, which sounded really nice because it was in the Philharmonic Hall when we did that one. Mm-hmm. And then each class kind of did their own version of a part of the film or a different, you know, a different scene from it. And that was quite good. That was kind of one of the first ones, I think, that we probably did. And then I know after that, in the few years after that, we moved and we used the hall one of the halls at Hope University in Liverpool. And then the last 3 or 4 years that I was at school, we did them in the school chapel, which was really nice as well, because you know what a lovely area of school that is.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not, anyone will tell you, I'm not overly religious, but I think out of the whole building, I think that's probably one of my favourite places, especially to sing, because it always sounds nicer in there.
It does. It's a lovely setting, isn't it, for anything musical?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's one of the places at the reunions as well. Everybody, at least some point, just gravitates to, even for a couple of minutes, just to go in and have a quick look around and brings back some of the memories, you know. And if that's if you're religious or not, you know, it's just one of them sort of special parts of the school.
I think it is. It's got that kind of atmosphere, hasn't it? I know when I was at school, especially in my last few years, I showed a lot of visitors round and things like that, and they all sort of said how, you know, how lovely it was, and that there was a really nice atmosphere when you went in, and, you know, even if you just kind of happened to walk in and just sort of be stood there was just that, you know, that nice atmosphere. So
yeah.
Well, yeah, you've got a really good memory of school, and that's great. You know, it's cause sometimes we think back and I don't remember that until somebody says something.
I know. Well, even I do that sometimes. It's you know, as you say, when you're there for so long, I mean, you see different things and different things change, and it's only when you look back and sometimes you start talking to people and someone just mentions something and you go, oh, you know, remember that. So it's good.
What we're going to do is we're going to obviously move on to what you've done since school, but we're going to have a little break. So do you want to introduce the break?
Basically, at the moment I am, obviously, as Michael said, I'm doing performing arts, and I've decided that it would be a good idea to make some videos and get some footage of me singing kind of different songs. So you're going to hear part of, or all of, me singing on my own from the musical Les Miserables. So enjoy.
Danielle singing on my own from Les Mis, and brilliant it was too. So we're back with Danielle now. So what have you been doing since you left St Vincent's, Danielle?
A couple of things, really. When I very first left, I had an apprenticeship organised in a local nursery, and I was going to do my do my MVQ and then hopefully two and level three. But unfortunately, that kind of fell through down to the nursery, basically. So after that, I kind of started looking then for what I could kind of get my teeth into. And it was suggested that I went and kind of went back to college almost and kind of had a bit of a career change, if you like. So I thought about doing performing arts, and when I was at school, I went to look round RNC in Hereford and QAC in Birmingham, because RNC do, obviously they do performing arts, and they do a similar course to what I'm doing now. But to be honest, I kind of thought, well, I've been, you know, in specialist education for quite a while now, and it would be nice to kind of get back into mainstream a bit, and especially doing a subject like performing arts. I think there is there's a bit of a kind of stigma attached, as it, you know, visually impaired, you won't be able to do that sort of thing. And I kind of thought, well, I don't believe in saying you can't do something because of your visual impairment. So I thought, right, I'll, you know, get in contact with our local college and see what they've got to say. So I did. I got in contact with them, and our head of performing arts was absolutely brilliant. And literally a week or so after speaking to him on the phone, I went in and had a chat with him, and he went through all the, you know, any questions that he'd got and that I'd got, and we kind of got on like a house on fire, really. And so I started in September, 2011 it would have been, yeah. You lose track of what year you're in, don't you? So that's kind of been mainly what I've been doing since leaving. I'm in my second year at the moment, and we are, at the moment, we're kind of finishing a lot of our units off to then concentrate on our end of year show, which will be middle of June. I think it's something like the 13th of June, I think, off the top of my head. So that's been a big part of what I've been doing. As I say, I'm trying to kind of get a bit of a, not necessarily a fan base going, but kind of get a bit more established as a, you know, kind of who I am and what I do. So I'm in the middle of kind of making some films and, you know, some videos of me performing to put onto YouTube and link to Facebook and things. I also recently, I've now got a load of business cards printed as well, which I can give out, because I do get asked to do, you know, a few kind of charity events and private functions and things. So I'm hoping that those will kind of pick up, especially over the summer when I'm not at college. That will give me something to keep me out of mischief.
That's brilliant.
I do quite a bit of busking as well, which is, I think it's one of the best types of performance, because you can kind of stand and sing and enjoy yourself, and you can get away with murder, because 9 times out of 10 people might stand and maybe watch for a song, and others will just kind of keep walking and hopefully throw some money in your bucket if they think you're doing all right. So it's kind of quite laid back and chilled out, which is quite nice as well. So.
Lovely. So yeah. What are you hoping to do after your course, Danielle?
I'm hoping to go on to university next year. I've got a couple that I've applied for already. I've got an audition actually this coming Thursday at Chichester University. So fingers crossed, I will get in there and then kind of see where it ends up. I'm quite open to, I'd thought about possibly going into teaching, and certainly something that's performance related, whether it's kind of musical theatre based or whether it's singing based, because I'm also doing my singing exams at the moment as well. So I did my grade 5 exam in November and got a distinction in that, so I was really pleased with that.
That's fantastic.
And then I've decided that instead of going on to just grade 6, I'll jump a couple and go straight to grade 8. So I'm hopefully going to be doing that in the summer as well.
Wow.
So, yeah. I don't like making life easy.
Best of luck on Thursday. Hope everything goes brilliantly for you. You'll have to let us know and we can put it,
I will do.
Put it on the page or the group, or we could put it on the next podcast if you, or whenever you're here, you know.
Yeah, I will do. I'll let you know when I hear anything.
One thing I was just thinking as well, Danielle, was we asked a question, didn't we, a few months ago, and I'm sure you responded about anyone who's been attempted to get on X Factor or of these.
I did.
And I know you did say you'd mention it. So do you mind sharing that with us?
Yeah. Basically, if you're thinking of X Factor, my advice would be don't.
That was probably my advice.
Bluntly, because it is the biggest con on TV, in my opinion, and same with Britain's Got Talent. Because when you watch the X Factor on TV and you see all these thousands of people queued up outside, that bit's real. But then what they don't show you is that before you go in to see the judges, there is at least two or three rounds before that where if you are lucky, you will be in either an arena or a stadium, and a producer will basically walk along each row, and for every 10 people that they tell no, they'll maybe put one person through. And literally, I know when I went, it was kind of the producer would come to you and it'd be right, name, age, where you from. You'd sing maybe 15, 20 seconds of your song if they were lucky, and it would either be yes, you're through, or no, thank you. And that is basically how they end up with people who really can't sing on the telly, because it is just all done on kind of luck of the draw, basically. There's no actually, you know, whether you can sing or not, but there we go. So, so don't bother if you're thinking about it.
Yeah, so basically it's a lottery, really, isn't it, whether you get through or not?
Yeah, it is, which is really bad, and it's not good.
You heard it here on the SVOPA podcast.
First. Yes, don't bother.
Don't bother.
The thing is, they're looking for good TV as well, aren't they? So if you're really bad, they might put you through. If you're excellent, they might. And if you're just, you know, good to average, you may not. Because at the end of the day, that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for excellent or rubbish, aren't they, really, for entertainment?
They want things that people are going to watch and are going to, you know, get people talking, I suppose, because the more people talk, the more people are likely to watch. But it's one of them, I think. If you're I don't know anyone who's been on it, and I'm not sure whether they're going to do another series, but I know The Voice that was on last year, I think that was more for people who were interested in kind of serious sort of singing rather than just entertainment value. I'm not entirely sure on how the first audition stages worked with that one, as I say, because I don't know anyone who's been on it or anything. So,
Well, I mean, you'll just watch this space, because you never know. Danielle might be a star in the future.
But,
you never know.
I mean, the YouTube videos what are on are really good. There's two on at the moment. Obviously, there may be more on by the time we get the podcast out. So how will people find your videos besides on the Facebook page? You've got a YouTube channel, haven't you?
I haven't actually. It's Mum's.
All right.
Which is, I do need to find one, or create one. But if you search my middle name is actually easier, because it's an unusual middle name and they come up under that. So my middle name is Amalia, and that's spelled Amarlia. And if you search for that, and there is On My Own from Les Mis, which you will see me stood in the middle of a stage, basically. And then there is another one of me duetting A Whole New World with a guy called Hugh Maynard. And he's a singer / actor. And he's done work in the West End. He was in The Lion King, and he's been in Sister Act. And he's also done, I think he has done bits of filming and bits of voiceover work as well. So, and I was lucky enough to meet him the other day, and hopefully in April I'll be singing with him again at another charity event and doing some workshop bits with him and whatever, but I've still got to be organised as yet. So
he's been in some of my favourite musicals, because I mean, I've seen Sister Act twice.
Sister Act was brilliant.
I do like that. And going and seeing Lion King tomorrow for the first time. And I'm really looking forward to that. And
it's supposed to be very good.
Everybody who's seen it so far have really raved on it and said it's been absolutely fantastic.
I've heard a lot of good things.
So what's your favourite musical? We'll just obviously finish with musicals and that sort of thing. Why not?
I think my favourite one is probably Les Mis. I saw it. In fact, actually, the first time I saw that was at school. I went with a group to Broughton Hall, you know, the girls' school next door. Their performing arts department did a production of it. And I went to see that and absolutely loved it. And then a few months later, I went to see another amateur kind of performance of it near where I lived in Spalding at the time. And then for my 16th birthday, me and Mum went to see it in London, and it was absolutely amazing. And even Mum thought it was absolutely brilliant. I mean, when we went, she was a bit kind of didn't really know what to expect, because I'd sort of roughly explained the storyline to her. But I think it's quite hard to explain to someone who's never seen it what it's all about. And she absolutely loved it. So we went again for my 21st birthday last year. So we've seen it in the West End twice now. And hopefully that won't be the last time, Paul. I'd love to go and see it again. So.
What's your favourite song out of any musical?
Oh, gosh.
I'm actually going to split the question. What's the favourite song you like? And obviously as a performer, which is your favourite song you either would like to perform or you have performed?
Wow. Oh, gosh. Right, at the moment, I think my favourite song from a musical, it does change because obviously as new ones come out, but at the moment I think it's probably Naughty. It's called Naughty and it's from Matilda the Musical.
Not seen that yet, so...
It looks absolutely brilliant, and the song, it's sung by Matilda. Mm-hmm. It's Tim Minchin who wrote the music and the lyrics, and it's just brilliant. When you hear it, you can just literally hear it being sung by a child. It's brilliant. You need to go on YouTube and listen to it. It's really good. Mm-hmm. And then I think a song that I would love to perform is Defying Gravity from the musical Wicked. I've sang it a few times before, but not kind of proper performing it, but my life's ambition is to be able to sing that song and to fly at the end, because when she sings it in the musical, it's the one of the witches who sings it, and when she gets right to the very end, the last few notes, she's on her broomstick and she literally flies up into the air, and I just think that'd be amazing to do that.
So. Right, you've just spoiled
you never
that.
Know one day.
Oh, I'm seeing that in October, I think it is, or November. It's coming to Manchester, so that's another
brilliant.
One I'm really looking forward to seeing. So is there anything else you want to say before we close up? Say any hi's to anyone, or if people want to get in touch with you or anything like that. Well, obviously you're on Facebook anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, I was going to say I am do. And if anyone wants to, get in contact with me, feel free to either message me or write on my wall. And we can always exchange numbers if and when people want to, so yeah.
Well, that's been brilliant, Danielle. Thanks ever so much for coming on. You've been
an
absolute star and very easy to interview, hasn't she?
She has, yeah, absolute diamond.
Yeah, it's been
it's
lovely.
Been good. I've enjoyed it.
Why not follow us on Twitter at SVOPA?
Right, thanks, Danielle. That was a wonderful interview and lovely to hear Danielle singing with another song from her at the end of the podcast, so make sure you stay tuned for that. So now we're moving on to some information about a channel within Audioboo. Now, I've covered Audioboo before on the podcast, so I won't go into it in any great detail. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to hand over to the owner of the channel, Paul Hopkins, and he will do a far better explanation of it than I could. So it's over to Paul.
Hello, Zopa people. Oh man, I feel very, very, very strange coming and interrupting your sort of school reunion type podcasting. I'm not from Liverpool. I was never at St. Vincent's. I was actually at Licky Grange School in Birmingham, for those that care. But that's not the reason I'm here at all. I'm here because Mike and Joe, who do your podcast, have asked me to come on and tell you a little bit about VipAdvisor. Well, first, I'm Paul Hopkins, so, you know, there you go, it's Paul. And I know that you've been talking about Audioboo in general, but VipAdvisor is something that's on Audioboo, and it's a little bit different from what you'll have had previously explained to you, in the sense that Audioboo is where everything happens in terms of Audioboo, and so there's that side of it. But the channels are actually something a little bit different. So you'll see channels on there when you go onto the site, and there'll be things from BBC, and there'll be things from under charities, which is where you need to be to find VipAdvisor. That's VipAdvisor. And the charities are things like, you know, Human, Amnesty International, and there's a couple of VI related ones like Blind Veterans UK and Royal London Society for the Blind have got a channel there as well. But VIP Advisor, I don't know how long I've got, but the history of that very briefly is that I wanted to bring together visually impaired people and people that are interested in sort of our world, as it were, you know, and our community. So people that are interested in visual impairment together. And initially we started off, my idea was to talk about travel and say, well, you know, if you want to go from one place to another, you know, then people just give advice on travelling, you know, whether it be holidays or wherever, or a day out or a trip somewhere. And that they could go from everything from giving advice to actually, you know, even meeting people and say, well, I'll give you the guided tour. So, you know, blind people are usually meeting blind people, that kind of idea. But that seemed a bit too narrow. So I just thought, well, maybe we just talk about journeys full stop. So what is our journey? What do we, you know, what's our life look like? What do we do? How, and that, you know, as we go forward in life, that we can advise each other really and support each other. So when you go on there, you basically will see lots and lots and lots of different subjects being talked about. And you can, by going on the channel, you can run down. And if you find, look initially for things like the VIP Advisor updates. Look for the VIP Advisor updates and then go and listen to those first initially. But you'll very quickly get into it. It's quite addictive, I think, because people have been talking about, you know, embarrassing things that guide dogs do. And I think your own Joe and your own Michael have both shared embarrassing things that their guide dogs have done on there recently. So you can go and find that. You can go and people were asking about sleep. And, you know, so many of us as visually impaired people have problems sleeping. And so people have been talking about that. And, you know, what's the best thing to do? Is melatonin the right way to go? And all this sort of thing. And, of course, you know, the advisories around going to the doctor if you need help and those kind of things. People talking about electricity. Some people just don't know the best way to buy electricity. Do we have a meter, or do they go and get a direct debit? And, you know, which is the most economical? Well, of course, some of you will jump and know the answer to that. So basically, the little, what they call the strap line. So it's help when you want it, support if you don't. Because so many of us say, I don't need help, you know, I don't. And, you know, I've said it before in the past. And basically, sometimes we do need help. So, you know, and it's a place where you can do that. And it's a safe place and a fun place and an enjoyable place and a helpful place. So if you happen to go onto Audioboo and set up your account and all the rest of it, and you would like to be part of VipAdvisor, or you just want to go on without an account, just go onto the website and have a look at what's going on there, then all you need to do is go to www.audioboo, that's audioboo.fm/channel, channel, /VIP-ADVISOR. And there you will be taken straight to the channel, which is VipAdvisor. And you can play to your heart's content. There are about 850 audio clips up there already. There's been nearly 20,000 plays of all those things. And we've got
quite a few followers. Well, that will be explained, I'm sure, by Michael and Joe, around and about what I've already said. So, thank you, wonderful SVOPA listeners, and I will now return to my Licky Grange School kind of corner, but thank you very, very, very much for listening to me today. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much, Paul, for doing that. That was really good. It was saved us trying to explain about VIP Advisor and all the rest of it. So we're going to move on to something which we really want you guys to get involved in. You've heard on the live podcast we've done the 2-minute challenge, where you get 2 minutes to talk about yourself at school or things you've done since. Well, we want to do a few next month, maybe half a dozen, 10 of you, just to put in all the extra information we've got. So we've done a sample one today. We've just had Yvette Hill on the phone, who was Yvette Forrest when she was at school there from 1980 to 1990. And she's going to sort of give you an idea of what we want and what we want to do. So do get in touch with us, podcast@svopa.co.uk, and we want as many as we can next month. And if we get too many, we'll just move them on to the next podcast as well. So over to you, Yvette.
I started at St Vincent's in 1980, and I was at the school until 1990, when I left to go to a mainstream school. At school, I particularly enjoyed swimming and music, and I played the clarinet. When I left St Vincent's, I went to a mainstream school in McGill, which was close to where I lived. That's in Liverpool. I stayed there for GCSEs, of which I got 9, and then I did A-levels in Maths, English and History. From there, I went on to university, and I went to Brunel in Uxbridge, West London, where I studied law for 4 years. The third year of that was a work placement, and I did 6 months at Sefton Trading Standards and the second 6 months at Uxbridge County Court. After completing my law degree, I did the legal practice course in London. I then worked for a short time back at Uxbridge County Court, and then since 2000, I've worked for the Insolvency Service, firstly in London as an examiner, where I did yet another 3 years of training and numerous more exams. I then moved to Birmingham with my now husband in 2004, where I worked for the Insolvency Service again, initially investigating complaints made about companies in liquidation, and then as a full-time assessor travelling the country. I live in Solihull in the West Midlands. I'm married to Ian, who I met in the first week at university in 1994. I've got 3 children, Christopher 4, Emily 2, and Jessica, who's 6 months. Whilst I have any spare time, I provide advice about cloth nappies and information to new parents, and I'm also a trade union representative in my workplace. What more can I say?
Well, thanks, Yvette. That was great. So get in touch, everybody. podcast@svopa.co.uk and do your 2-minute challenge. It'd be great to hear from you. So now we're going to move on to an interview that Michael did with Patty Angus.
Right, well, fresh back from our weekend up in Gateshead at the Swallow Hotel, I've managed to get the absolute crazy one from the weekend, Patty, to join us. So, hi, Patty.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, how's it going up there at the moment? Is it cold?
It's absolutely freezing. I think you'd be very much at home with the polar bears.
That's fine. At least they're nice and woolly and warm, and they keep you warm. They're not very cuddly polar bears, are they, really?
Oh, I love a polar bear because they're soft and furry.
Well, yeah. Well, they're supposed to be, but I don't really think they really are. They're probably, not be very friendly.
I don't think so.
Well, we had a great weekend a couple of weekends ago up in the Swallow, and it was really good to see you and a few of you. So do you want to tell us about the weekend and what you enjoyed and that sort of thing from it?
Well, it was really good. My husband, Brian, and I arrived late in the afternoon, and it was horrendous getting there because it got caught in traffic, and it took us ages to get there. But anyway, we arrived, and we had a nice meal and that, and it was lovely catching up and with new people and people that I hadn't seen before, and making new friendships. It was lovely.
I say we had quite a good group as well, didn't we? Quite a good age group turned up.
Yeah, it was really good because you had, you know, older people and you had a lot of younger people, but we all interacted brilliantly.
We did. We sort of started the weekend with a bit of a, just a sort of sat around in one of the bars, and we got a few munchies and stuff to keep everyone, you know, food and conversation always goes down well, doesn't it?
It does.
And the hotel was actually really helpful, I found. I don't know about yourself.
Yes, I did. I found them very, very helpful. They really were helpful.
And we'd been recommended that one anyway by loads of visually impaired people who'd used the hotel. So, yeah, a few of us went out on the Friday night. I think you guys just had a rest, didn't you, and George?
We did, yeah.
We did the karaoke, which you've heard a little bit on the podcast earlier. And then Paul did a bit of singing, I did a bit of singing. And on Saturday, we went over to the Metro Centre.
And that was fun. Really fun. I tell you what, I mean, it was white. It was snow. And went to the Metro Centre, and it was nice and warm. But the good thing was it wasn't too crowded, because that was my concern, that it might be pretty crowded, but it was fine. And I found the staff very, very helpful. And we had a lovely look around, and we really enjoyed ourselves.
Good. And a bit of a, when we got back to the hotel, we did the recording, which you'll have heard. And I know a big group of people all dived into Andrew and Georgie's room, didn't you, for a laugh?
We did, yes. It was great. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Paul fascinated me, showing us state-of-the-art iPod. Mm-hmm. And it was brilliant because he could ask questions like, what's the weather like in Australia, or what's the weather like in Hong Kong or wherever? And it was really interesting.
Yeah, apart from Gateshead, wasn't it where every time he asked for Gateshead, it gave him the weather in Botswana?
Yes, that's right. It was hilarious.
Yeah, Siri just happens to do that, yeah.
It was funny.
And obviously you guys had to shoot off early on the Sunday, but we had a, you know, I know you had some time on Saturday night as well with Georgie and some of the other guys.
Yeah.
And like I said, you had to go early. And what happened for those who, you know, didn't make it? We managed to meet up with Chelsea and Sid for lunch on the Sunday in one of the local pubs and have a couple of drinks and something nice to eat. And Paul and Angela and Ian left at lunchtime. And Paul Roberts joined us as well for the evening, so we went out, a few of us, on the Sunday night as well. So would you come to another weekend break, and would you encourage people to come again?
I certainly would, actually. I think you'd have a wonderful time, and it gives you a chance to meet up with old friends that you haven't seen for a long time. But it also gives you the chance to go to a different part of the country and you know, to get to know where we were from. Because I know when I was at school, there was twins, Chris and Terry Brady. And Terry and I got on great, and we used to have, like, banter. And he used to call us a Geordie Savage. And, you know, I think Terry needs educating. I think the Bradys should come up to the northeast and see what a very nice place it is. And if the weather had been better, you would have loved South Shields. Because it's got, like, all the oldie world. It's got the fairground, it's got the park, and it's got lovely fish and chip shops and, you know, places to eat. But I would recommend the northeast because it's got a lot of culture, and people from the south, you know, I think they should come up and visit us. Would make them welcome.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did. I mean, you guys made us all feel really welcome, and we are looking to do the northeast again at some point. We obviously can't do it every year. But, you know, we want to try and reach different parts, which is why we're doing Wales in November. And we're looking at Peterborough for next February or March. So, and we'll probably do something again in Newcastle in the next year or two. Could be good to have another weekend break up there. Well, thanks again, Patty, for joining us again.
It's my pleasure, Michael.
Always nice to talk to you. You always bring a smile to our faces. And obviously we hope to catch you at a future event. In fact, you're coming to the reunion this year, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I am. I'll have to put on my best Scouse accent, you know.
Of course you will, won't you?
Oh, I'll have to, yeah. That'd be great.
In fact, you're heading up the North East contingent. Again, there's about 10 people coming from the North East to the reunion this year. So it'll be Scouse and Geordie all the time up there.
Be fantastic.
So yeah, don't forget everyone, get booking for the reunion. We're looking to get as many as we can to join us. And thanks very much then. And we'll
Thank
speak
you.
To you again soon, Patty.
Okay. Thank Bye. You, Baker.
Why not email us at podcast@svupa.co.uk?
Well, it was great to have Patty on again. Obviously, she was on earlier on the SVOPA live stuff. And we wanted to get someone on who enjoyed the weekend just to tell you about it a little bit more and a little bit of a perspective after it took place. So, as you can see, we have a great time at these weekends. They're really relaxed. They're not structured in any real way. And we're just there. We just want to have some fun and meet up and spend time getting to know people properly, which, unfortunately, you can't really do at the reunion, can you?
No, it's lovely, but particularly for the committee, I think, we're all buzzing around and setting things up and everything, and we don't always get a chance to kind of mix. We try to, but it is nice to have these breaks where you've got a weekend to get to know different groups of people, and we are trying to do them in different areas of the country so that different people are catered for.
The next break we have got, actually, is the Belmont Hotel in London, which is running from the 1st to the 4th of November. We'd love as many people to join, especially like the Northwest guys. It's not that hard to get down to London, no. And you can book now, actually, directly with the hotel. Their telephone number is 01492 877 770. And you just quote SVOPA as a reference. And the prices are £35 per person per night, bed, breakfast and evening meal. And like I say, if we can get musicians or people just want to come and have a laugh, bring children. We've made it at the end of half term for most people. So, just come along and we'll just get to know each other and have a great time.
Okay, we're also thinking about next year. Now, I know it seems like a long way away, but we're considering a weekend break in Peterborough. This would be probably the last weekend of February, maybe beginning of March. There's been a little bit of interest so far. Michael's got a couple of hotels in mind. He's been speaking to them provisionally, but nothing's set in stone as yet. But if anybody's interested in that and would come along to a break in Peterborough, get in touch, podcast@svopa.co.uk.
Yeah, I've done a bit of looking around as well, because transport's always the biggest problem. And Peterborough is pretty straightforward from the North East, Liverpool, Manchester, Birmingham, London. And one idea which we've got, which may interest some people, is it's only 45 minutes roughly from London. And what I've noticed is Vocal Eyes tend to audio describe a West End show every week on a Saturday. So we may be able to, tie in a day out to London to go and catch a show as well for people who are interested. Obviously, something we would love to do. I mean, I love musicals, as you'll find out from our interview earlier, which you've just listened to. And it's something we'd like to do, and obviously give people the opportunity to catch a West End show as well.
Yeah, it's a different part of the country that we haven't covered before. So get in touch, and we'd love to see new people at these events. We really do. It's great to get to know different people every time. Also, we are considering the possibility. We'd need to liaise with the school, obviously, but of moving the school reunion one year further back in the year, and which would enable us to do a summer break for anybody who wanted it. So if anybody's any ideas about where they would want that break to be, where they'd be prepared to travel to, or what would interest them, again, get in touch, podcast@svopa.co.uk. It's your society, and we want to make everybody happy, really, and give everybody a good time.
Right, everyone, that's it for this month. And apart from a song by Danielle, which is from Aladdin, A Whole New World, which we're going to do right at the very end, so do stick along. We want to say thanks to a number of people as well.
Yeah, thanks to Danielle, obviously, and Patty for the great interviews. Thanks to Paul Hopkins for his information about the VipAdvisor channel. Go along and check that out if you want to. It's the more people that use it, the better.
Thanks to all those who took part of the SVOPA Live. And it was really good to meet up you all again. And thanks to Yvette for taking part in our two-minute challenge. And like I say, we want more of you next month as well.
Yeah, definitely. Get in touch.
I've struggled to get through this, but, you know, as you can tell, but that's life. I just got a bad cold. But, you know, the show must go on.
Yep, definitely. So now the all-important contact details. So the email address that you've been hearing all the way through, podcast@svopa.co.uk. You can follow us on Twitter @svopa.
You can follow me on Twitter @IkeAllen.
You can follow us both on Audioboo. I'm joe.fishwick.
And I'm Ike Allen again. You can also follow SVOPA as well on there. And also VI Talk, which is our new podcast, which hasn't actually started yet. But, you know, you can still follow us.
You can also come along onto Facebook and check out the SVOPA page. And there's also the group.
Yeah, the easiest way there is just search SVOPA. I'll give you my contact details as well. My telephone number is 0161 287 1841. My mobile is 07930 444 656. And if you need to send anything in, just give me a shout and I'll give you an address as well. So I think that's about it for this month, isn't it, Jo?
I think it is, yeah. So it just remains for us to say goodbye and to play Danielle's song, A Whole New World.
It is. So we'll meet you back on episode 11, which we're actually going to be, give you a sneak preview, we're going to be joined by Steve Roberts.
Yeah, it's we've actually already done the interview and it is really good, worth a listen, definitely.
So take care, until next time. Bye.
Bye.
Show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me.